cameras. And ethnicity is a really tricky thing. You know, Brian Barrett, no one in the audience knows who this is. He's one of the Barrett brothers.
Engineer.
One of the engineering. He's one of the geeks. He's one of the nerds that keeps us on the air. Like, we do, like, remotes or live broadcasts or whatever. Anybody here. Like, Rockfest or whatever. He sort of shares that. His whole, I've gone through, like, the whole year we've known him. I went through this last year thinking he was Jewish. I don't know why. I don't know where I got it in my head. I would have sworn on a stack of whatever, those, you know, latkes, that he was Jewish. I don't know why. Not that it matters. But he's just back there talking.
Why does it matter, Rick Emerson?
You know why. No, he was back there talking to Jeff McGinley. And, you know, Jeff McGinley's, you know, they're standing there talking about whatever. And I make some, you know, I was talking about, you know, I've been playing a lot of Irish music. And then Jeremy's like, or Ryan is like, yeah, we all got to, yeah, we Irish got to stick together. And I said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean we are? What do you mean we, Ryan? He said, so, well, you know, we Irish, my people are from blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, I thought you were Jewish. And he said, no. And I said, really? And then I started thinking about the fact that I don't really know what the hell I'm talking about most of the time. I don't know why that is. In the last 13 months, there must be some reason for that, right?
Probably just as well. New news hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, we'll have plenty of breaking Irish news coming up, but first, our top story. A cat survives a four-story fall in Lake Oswego. Yes, this scared, skinny cat survived a fall from a four-story building. Apparently, it was brought to a veterinary hospital in Sherwood.
Did he land on his feet?
Yeah, it did. Not that it matters, I guess, after four stories.
All right.
Well, apparently, a construction worker named Paul Hart walked into a vacant apartment building on Burnham Road to do a little work, and he noticed a cat sitting in the corner. He'd seen that cat around the complex before and tried to approach it, but the feline panicked and jumped to the balcony. Well, he missed and fell four stories. So he sees the cat lying on the ground, unmoving. He grabs a cardboard box, scoops up the cat, and brings it to an emergency cat hospital. It'll survive.
Is there an emergency dog hospital? Here's the reason I ask about this.
Yeah, there's, you've been to it before.
No, but there's Dove Lewis, but that is for animals. I'm saying, is there one just for dogs?
Dogs and cats, isn't it?
But
I don't think it's so limited.
Here's the point. Here's the point I'm making. This is, I am with a keen eye for discrimination and social injustice. Because if you drive through Selwood, there's that cat hospital there. Doesn't say for cats and dogs. Doesn't say for pets. It says for cats. And on the front, there's a little outline of a cat. The whole thing just infuriates me. So, it's just, you know, it'd be just like goddamn cat people to have their own, like, special private hospital that no other pets can go to that's just for cats. Fine. Whatever. I'm not going to be bitter about it.
Then there was a traffic stop on Highway 99 East. Turned into a police chief when a man refused to show his driver's license and he took off this morning. He crashed into a fence and hit two boats at Sportscraft Marina in Oregon City. And then he ran out of the car. The cops said to make splash. And saw a ripple in the water, but they didn't see whether or not he jumped. Police are unable to gather any information from the vehicle's license plate because the car wasn't registered. So now the Clackamas County Marine Team is planning to use underwater cameras and look under the docks and see if there's a dead guy floating around down there.
A guy pulling a Dennis Wilson, as they say.
Okay, Scotty, we're underway here. Well, let's talk about the Irish, shall we?
Let me get my chair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have a sounder? Should I be playing something?
I don't know yet. I just have a couple of Irish stories.
Do you have any Irish jig music?
Okay, bagpipes are Scottish, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay.
No, they're both.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, you know, the Irish have been known to use bagpipes, but they're not as good as the Scottish.
Did the Irish steal them from Scotland? I bet they did.
Are you accusing the Irish of being thieves?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
Here's Tim.
Well, Irish pub owner Paul Nolan says St. Patrick's Day revelers should remember one thing.
America told us how to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and now it is a genuinely great festival, and we've kind of embraced it, and it is a genuine day of celebration, whereas before, it was pretty much a church thing.
See that? It's an American creation.
We don't do green beer in Ireland.
Really?
So
once again, it took America to take something from elsewhere in the world and do it correctly. That's what America does. America takes ideas that are merely good
And we spiff them up and polish them and give them a good scrubbing, and then we make them fantastic ideas. Like in Vegas, you know what I mean? You go to Vegas, Vegas is sort of a virtual reality. I mean, you could go to the actual Egypt, you could go to the actual Paris, but why? You go to Vegas, you can see all these things, and then you can get whores just a couple miles south of there. So, you know, so there you go. That's what we do. All right.
So let's talk about Bill O'Reilly, another Irishman. One of the men claiming to be the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby is suing Bill O'Reilly. Prince Frederick Van Anhalt is the husband of Sasha Gabor. He's filed a $10 million lawsuit against O'Reilly. According to that, he called Van Anhalt a fraud on TV. Van Anhalt. Regarding his claim that he's the father of Smith's baby, Daniel Lynn.
It's not an opinion. He didn't say, in my opinion, he is a fraud. He said, he is a fraud. And he said, this man is finished. Now, who is he to tell me if I'm finished or not?
He never began.
I don't even know who this is we're talking about.
This is Prince Frederick Van Anhalt.
Oh, this is the...
Zsa.
What kind of accent is that? Do we even know where he's from?
No.
All right. Well,
some Germanic.
Some untrustable Germanic country. Some anal retentive country with weird porn.
Well, apparently O'Reilly's comments have put his reputation at stake.
The thing is, if he says his reputation is finished for good. So if my reputation is finished for good, then he has to pay for the rest of my life.
Just shut it. The story's...
He's going to have to be knocked off by some of these.
We quit talking about this like a year ago, dude. Shut it. Here's the other thing, by the way, just as a side note. When you're talking about Bill O'Reilly, I swear to God, because it's St. Patrick's Day, in my head I was subtracting the O, and then I was trying to figure out who you were talking about. But Bill Riley? Who's Bill Riley? Because I assumed that the O was fake and being put on for effect. I mean, Bill Riley? Hansel? And I couldn't figure out who you were talking about. All right, so Bill O'Reilly. It's funny how that today even the real O's sound fake. Give me another real person with an O on their name.
A person with an O on their name?
Yeah, who's like O'Reilly? The Bill O'Reilly?
Osama?
Osama. That's fantastic. We're looking for Osama. I'm sorry. Sorry about everything. I'm sorry about this whole thing. Whole goddamn thing. All right.
The saving of a rare woodpecker is questioned. Okay, Scotty, I don't know if you want to come in here for this, because I don't know what's happening, but I'll begin reading it.
Is this the story that he was walking around clutching?
This is about Scotty's woodpecker.
Quit saying
no, his woodpecker story.
Scotty, would you like to come to the... Scotty, please...
Hold on.
I don't know how to proceed with this. I want to do it correctly.
Of course.
Scotty, this is David Cassidy. You know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Somebody's also said not to forget Barack Obama. That's right, I forgot about that. All right, our PA Scotty J are in the studio now. Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
All right.
This is such an important story. I want to give it justice.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
Well, I just thought it'd be a good one for you, Tim.
You've been excited about this story for 2 days.
We have audio.
Audio of
R.E.S.
All right, now here's just so you know the background. All day yesterday, Scotty was walking around clutching this woodpecker story.
Clutching his woodpecker.
Clutching his woodpecker story. Working long and hard.
Everything but
diligently.
Working long and hard on his woodpecker story. He wasn't busy adjusting his stool. I'm so glad it's Friday. Anyway, and then you gave it to Tim as though it was like your firstborn child. As though it were the grail itself. So...
It was just the bit has been exposed, the curtain is open now, so it's just kind of...
I don't know what we're talking about. Why is it so important to you that Tim read this woodpecker story?
Well, it's not now.
We're going to do it. You gave it to Tim yesterday with explicit instructions.
Specifically read it on Friday.
So here we are.
Well,
it's Friday.
It's a story from...
So should I begin, wonderful things will happen as I read it?
Yes, that's
good. Does the story magically become better?
I saw a vision of this thing.
So I'm going to begin what happens after.
Okay, here we
go.
This is from London. A Scottish scientist says American bird watchers may have been wrong when they concluded that the ivory-billed woodpecker, thought to be extinct, might have survived. In an article published Wednesday in the BMC Biology, that's apparently some journal, University of Aberdeen Genesis Martin Collinson disputed whether a video shot by an Arkansas scientist showed the ivory-billed woodpecker. Collinson, a passionate birder, I don't feel any magic, analyzed the Arkansas video frame by frame and compared it with that of a pileated woodpecker, which is a related species with similar black and white plumage.
I can feel
it. The study suggested it may not be possible to be certain that the bird in the video is the ivory-billed woodpecker.
And I'm just going
to
take a little nap.
The bird
over here.
In the Arkansas video is best regarded as not being fully identified and possibly a pileated woodpecker. The last confirmed sighting of an ivory-billed woodpecker in North America right, was in 1944. This belongs on the air at 3 o'clock in the morning in public access.
I'm sorry. Scotty has informed me that... Okay, so
the bit kind of fell apart.
Really?
We'll go back to the drawing board.
No, he's informed me that... Okay, so Scotty has... He was over here just...
Maybe Lacey would like to do this on her
I had a vision about the woodpecker story, and it just didn't happen.
Scotty was over here gesticulating wildly at some sound clips that he's put into here. I'm sorry, Tim. Apparently, is there much more to the story?
Yes, there is. Much more.
We
have about 3 days to go on this story.
Tim Scotty has informed me that the story will be a lot funnier,
mm-hmm.
and the point will come across in stark relief if you are then to be reading it over the top of this. Sir, you might want to drop my computer level a little bit here. Okay, Tim, you just continue your story.
Well, the last confirmed sighting of the ivory-billed woodpecker in North America was in 1944. Researchers believe the species had been extinct until 2004, but a kayaker has said to have spotted one in eastern Arkansas. Since then, there have been several sightings in a videotape shot by David Luno, an electronics professor at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock, has been released. The video was seen as evidence of the bird that seemed to have vanished after logging destroyed its habitat, but the poor quality of the video led to questions and a lingering dispute over its existence. A research team headed by David Sibley of Concord, Massachusetts, read in the Journal of Science last year that the quality of the video was not good enough to see the ivory-billed woodpecker's distinctive voice on its back. But the larger monster was...
All right. Well,
see what I'm saying?
I can feel it.
Yeah. Added a little bit of color to that.
Go away.
You know, there was also one. There was a clip of him saying, "You know, guess who?" But it.
Well, let's do that.
Continue reading?
Oh, we're far from being done.
You just continue with the most pertinent sections.
Collinsworth said it was possible to spot the beluga woodpecker's distinction black trailing wings in the Arkansas video. The trailing edges of the ivory-billed woodpecker's wings are white.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. No one has believed the beluga woodpecker's wings
feet
more slowly than the
ape. I've heard enough woodpecker.
Okay.
We're missing the gist of this.
Oh.
No one has believed the beluga woodpecker's wings beat more slowly than the 8.6 beats per second captured in the video. Collinson concluded the beluga woodpecker's wings could beat that fast, at least for short flights. Other scientists dispute the finding.
You know, if I had to repeat anything that you just said there, I don't think I could do that. And
I'll give
you
the copy, Scotty, or more. Than what
you. You don't want to lose this story, Scotty. You can bring this out every year.
This one needs to go in a frame.
All right.
So this has to do with St. Patrick's Day.
Not really.
Doesn't matter.
Go away now.
That's Scotty J. Livingston.
All right, 503-733-2970.
God love him.
All right, then. Well, he bought me a razor this morning. I can't be that angry at him. He stopped at the store and bought me a razor and shaving cream.
He does make us coffee, too.
And he does make us coffee. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's
that bummer is almost over with.
Everything's going to sound like genius now. Here's Tim Riley.
And now back to more stories of the Emerald Island. Towns and cities across Ireland today are putting final preparations in place for festivities to mark St. Patrick's Day. In Dublin, 5 days and nights of colorful celebrations are underway. Tens of thousands of visitors are expected to descend upon Dublin. The highlight of the weekend will be the St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow afternoon and a fireworks display at Docklands. On the north side of the city, in the heart of the IFSC in Docklands, people can take a colorful journey into Amazozo, a luminous inflatable maze filled with tunnels, slopes, and 60 pyramids. This is the most boring holiday ever.
This story just goes on and on forever. It never ends.
The mayor of Galway has called for the permanent removal of a parasite from the county's water supply, which is being blamed for a widespread outbreak of diarrhea in Ireland.
And you know, it's an island. There's only so many places to put it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really, at a certain point, it's just right over the side.
His comments come as tens of thousands of Galway residents are being advised to boil their drinking water following a suspected contamination of the water supply.
Doesn't Ireland, aren't they an industrialized nation?
No.
Oh. I'm sorry, I was misinformed. Is Ireland still a third world country?
Well, I guess it's picking up with the high tech boom and Microsoft. Yeah, Microsoft does a big business there, from what I understand.
Selling what?
They have their operations there.
Really?
For Europe, yeah.
In Ireland. Well, okay.
Who does?
Microsoft. Okay, well, there you go. But so apparently...
That was more exciting than last
story. I was just going to say. Yes, apparently Microsoft there is working on the new edition of Windows Vista when they're not combating outbreaks of explosive diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fantastic. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, all right. This is a terrific story. Imagine jumping off a cruise ship and surviving 8 hours in the ocean. Now, you jump off the cruise ship because you drank it. It happened. The man who jumped off the cruise ship off Florida's coast early today has been rescued 8 hours after he jumped. The 24-year-old man ran through a Carnival Cruise Line's cabin window and into the water on Fort Lauderdale. The witness say the man was intoxicated. He flailed and waved his arms when he was spotted by the Coast Guard. And, let's see. He was airlifted to a hospital. They don't know his condition. He was aboard the Carnival Glory.
How exciting could it really have been?
They were alerted at 12:45 this morning. The ship and another cruise nearby stayed to assist with the search, but left the area once they got aboard.
Eight hours?
8 hours in the water. So if you want to survive in the ocean, make sure you're intoxicated.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and try to do it near Florida. That helps as well. If you do that in the middle of the ocean, it's measuring your life in picoseconds there. That's like that. Did everybody see that Open Water movie? No. But the couple's just floating in the...
No.
Oh, I couldn't handle it.
Oh, God, you saw, I remember you saw
Oh,
that.
Man. That was like the hardest 90 minutes of my life. I was just climbing the walls. After I saw Open Water, which is... I'm not spoiling anything. Everybody knows the deal. It's based on a true story. About some couples that are like coral diving or whatever. They're at the bottom of the ocean doing something. They're not the bottom of the ocean. They're in the ocean doing something. They come up and the boat has just left. And they're in the middle of the ocean. After seeing that movie, I just had to go walk around in the sun and just try to put myself back in a happy place. It's like one of those films where you come out and you just feel like someone has just kicked you in the soul repeatedly for about an hour and a half, and that you've paid for it. So yeah, don't see it. If you don't like water, if you don't like sharks, you don't like the idea of dying in any way, don't ever see that. Let's see. Seamus email, our good friend Seamus email. So St. Patrick's Day sucks. Rick, when you are named Seamus, St. Patrick's Day is just the worst day of the year. I have locked myself in my apartment for the entire day with a bottle of booze, some taquitos, and my Xbox. By the way, thank you for not having those damn Seamus commercials this year. I wish we had them. I wish we had them just sitting around.
Sorry, Seamus.
Sorry.
I wish we did.
It was just fantastic. They were so bad. They were so bad that, like a piece of surrealist art, they just became wonderful again. So, all right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
So, we have to talk about this because it's in the news. Valerie Plame accusing the Bush administration officials of intentionally outing her as a CIA agent.
My name and identity were carelessly and recklessly abused by senior government officials in both the White House and the State Department. All of them understood that I worked for the CIA, and having signed oaths to protect national security secrets, they should have been diligent in protecting me and every CIA officer.
No one really cares. She is kind of hot, which is what makes this interesting to me. But other than that, I don't think anybody has any interest in this story.
No, even Bob Novak says she donated money to a campaign, noting the CIA as her employer.
In 1999, she gave a $1,000 contribution to Al Gore's presidential campaign and listed the fictitious, supposedly cover organization that she was using for the CIA as her place of employment.
Wouldn't you just love to see that guy kicked in the head by a mule?
Yes.
I'll bring the mule. leave the cannoli. Bring the mule. He's just such a terrible, unlikable person. If Bob Novak became a brain-eating zombie, I don't think anybody would even notice the difference. If he was just sort of lurching around, sucking out your spinal fluid, I don't even think anybody would notice any change in him.
An alleged terrorist who calls himself the mastermind behind the 9/11 attack said he also planned to destroy the Sears Tower. Because he's running out of targets, apparently. But the Chicago police superintendent, Phil Crane, said he never heard of such a thing before.
We've never heard this until it came out now. We'll sit down with our federal partners and see how much validity there was.
All right. Rick, about Fred Thompson. I think he left politics to pursue acting again. I believe he's one of the hundreds of people on Law and Order. P.S. I cannot wait to get off work so I can celebrate my Irish heritage by drinking until I vomit. All right. Thank you, sir. Rick, heard you talking about Q-list band members. Yeah, we got this thing from Wolfman Jack Entertainment where they are offering... Apparently, I can get the Bay City Rollers, too. Probably for less than you might... The Bay City Rollers, who are hilarious. Well, maybe hilarious is the wrong word. Who are felons. Because I believe, now, this may be wrong, but I don't think it is. I'm pretty sure that there's at least one member of the Bay City Rollers who's gone to prison for being a pedophile. I'm perhaps wrong about that, but I don't think I am. Let's see. Who else can we book here? We can book, we can book the Bay City Rollers, the Crazy World of Arthur Brown, the Family Stone. Not Sly, just the Family Stone. That's like booking just Andrew Ridgely from Wham.
I bet he'd appreciate that.
At this point, if you watch that terrible movie, Music and Lyrics, with Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore, that's the one kind of interesting thing about it, is that Hugh Grant is clearly meant to be Andrew Ridgely from Wham. I almost do want to book Andrew Ridgely from Wham, just even to get him on the phone, just to ask him, what does he do, do you suppose? He's just it sits around and waits for things to arrive in the mail? He waits for coupon day?
I saw a picture of him. He doesn't have any hair anymore.
Really? He can't afford it. Can't even afford to keep his hair going. Who else can we book? Nelson. That would be Matthew and Gunnar Nelson from the 80s. Monsters of Classic Rock. Ooh, I'm gonna
highlight that. We can book Nelson?
Yes, we can. Not Terry. Just Nelson.
One of them was on... the Celebrity Fit Club thing.
Really?
And he was all crazy.
Let's see. T.G. Shepard. The Royal Guardsman. Tim, you remember the Royal Guardsman? Snoopy versus the Red Baron.
Snoopy versus the Red Baron.
All right. The Monsters of Classic Rock are... This is uninteresting. Anyway, I'm just going to say that this guy says, Rick, I heard you talking about Q-list band members. I thought you'd like to know that one of the former members of Foghat drives a canteen truck here in Portland. How sad. Rock and roll is really just the worst profession you could possibly pick that isn't radio. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, Elton John is in trouble. Well, not him, actually. Church leaders in Trinidad and Tobago have banned Elton John from their country.
Tobago?
Tobago.
Sounds like a disease.
Sounds like something in a little red bottle. Yes. Oh, that's Tabasco.
Yes, son. I'm thinking of lumbago.
Well, they're afraid that he's going to turn people gay.
Well, that's true.
Philip Isaac, the archdeacon of the Caribbean country, probably wears red shoes like the Pope, has a claim that Elton's campness may be infectious and might tempt locals to turn homosexual if he performs in the Plymouth Jazz Festival next month.
His what might be infectious?
His campness.
Could you spell that, please?
C-A-M-P-N-E-S-S.
Campness. Oh, okay.
What does it sound like?
I don't know. It sounded like a word that I didn't recognize. Okay. Oh, like campiness.
Yeah.
Okay, being campy. All right, okay. I thought you were saying campness like he was tidy.
No. Well, he might be.
He is tidy.
I'm sure he is tidy. He's fastidious.
Elton is due to attend the concert in April, but a clause in the immigration laws of the country means that the singer might be turned away for being gay.
What country is this?
Let's see. This is Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, let's add them to our enemies list.
Well, that's a compliment for Elton John.
Seriously.
If you think he's that talented that he's going to turn people gay.
He's so... Yeah. Really. I'd like to have the skill just to do that.
Turn you gay.
I wouldn't... Really, let's be honest now. Wouldn't we all love the superpower? If I could have a superpower right now, I'm just saying, if you offered me, look, you can either turn invisible for short periods of time, or you can turn anyone gay instantly, I would take that superpower in a heartbeat. I get a whole list of people just for my own amusement I would turn gay.
I can see the infomercial now.
That is the weirdest thing you've ever said.
Oh, come on. How satisfying would that be?
Why would that be satisfying?
Because I got a whole list of country singers that I'd be aiming that at right now.
That's true.
You, Charlie Daniels, bam!
Toby Keith.
Seriously. Wouldn't you love to point it at Dick Cheney and just turn him gay instantly? What did you think I was talking about?
No, I didn't. It just wasn't making sense.
So I can get Marconi to come make out with me. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
No, I have a whole long list of people that I would love to turn gay just to watch the look of unfolding horror on their face.
You understand what a weird sentence that is, though. I wish I had the power to turn people gay.
I do. I think, imagine how much social disruption you could cause with that. You know what I mean? Imagine how badly...
Toby Keith's career would be over.
No,
I'm singling in on him. I hate him so much.
It's not even about ruining Toby Keith's career. It's just about watching the look of confusion on his face. Just watching the sort of cognitive dissonance is set in his brain. You know, it'd be like picking like that Tim Hardaway guy. That guy who was that basketball player was all like didn't want to catch the game and so forth. So that guy wakes up the next day and suddenly, you know, just saying. All right. We should take a break here. It's we're way behind. Take a break. Come back. More from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio, Jim Roop, Top 5, and so forth. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Own circumstance, sabotage, show stock, rock and roll. There ain't a life of crime.
Why, hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Here's a great email. It's from a friend of Sarah's. How not to start your morning. I walk into work this morning, and about 5 minutes later, a commotion stirs up. Smells like something's on fire. People start checking the air vents and going for the fire extinguisher. I'm looking around, too. They're about to call the fire department. I look down, and I see the pant cuff of my leg on fire. Apparently, I dropped my cigarette butt on the cuff of my pants before I came in the building. I was ablaze. What a dumbass I am. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Poor guy.
503-733-2970. In mere moments, we rejoin Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We're joined now by Chief Engineer Jeff O'McGinley. Hello, sir.
O'McGinley? Is that what you just called?
We're adding an O.
I don't need to be any more Irish. Yeah. You know, McGinley is pretty much Irish.
You are wearing...
You definitely have the anger and the drinking problem.
Yes, thank you very much.
Angry and you're wearing a Guinness shirt.
I like the brown liquor and I like to smoke, so there you go. So
you like
to
what?
The brown liquor and I like to smoke. That's, oh. You know, how much
brown liquor. Haven't you met the brown liquor?
Yeah, so there you go.
Is that Andy Dick?
No, you were talking about...
No, that doesn't even work because he's not brown. Carl Weathers. No, I got nothing.
Yeah.
What do you have?
All right, no, you're talking about the bagpipes.
Yes.
You haven't heard this joke?
Is this an Irish joke?
Relatively.
We should play some music.
Hold on, yeah. And I'd like to, by the way, this is an Irish person telling this Irish joke. That makes it okay. Okay, go ahead, sir.
All right, no, it's more in the Scottish. Because you said that the bagpipes were on Scottish.
Well, I'm playing bagpipes now. You don't have the headphones. I'm playing bagpipes now.
Okay. No, 400 years ago... The Irish gave the Scottish bagpipes.
Okay.
The Scottish haven't gotten the joke yet. And with that, I'm going to go.
Bye now. It's 503-733-2970. Here's...
Think he's in cahoots with Scotty.
I love him. He's such an angry, funny little man.
We can wreck their show. What?
Jeff McGinley.
Oh, no, he's seething with anger.
Oh, but he's hilarious.
And just drunk is like you can't even imagine.
He's not drunk.
Well, not right now. It's only 12:30, but I mean, it is, all right, here's Tim Riley.
So this being Friday, we can always expect the government to come up with some story that's supposed to scare us for the weekend so we can make it through the news cycle for the weekend talk shows. And then by next week at this time, it'll be discredited. So here's today's. This comes to us from Washington from the AP. Suspected members of extremist groups have signed up as school bus drivers. But the FBI adds, parents and children have nothing to fear.
Oh, who would notice the difference, really?
That's true. There are no threats, no plots, no history to lead us to believe there's any reason for concern. But law enforcement agencies around the country are asked to watch out for the kids' safety. The bulletin, parts of which were read to the AP, did not say how often foreign extremists have sought to acquire licenses to drive school buses or where. It was sent out today. Imagine that. As part of what officials say is a routine FBI and a Homeland Security advisory for law enforcement officials. It is noted recent suspicious activity by foreigners who either drive school buses or are licensed to drive them, according to a counter-terror official who apparently wants to keep his job. Foreigners in the recent investigation include some with ties to extremist groups who have been able to even purchase school buses and acquire school bus driving licenses.
Are these public schools?
Yes, they are.
I mean, all of my public school, and this is, and you all know this if you went through it. The school bus drivers are all freaks anyway. they're all like, what's your name on South Park? It's not an exaggeration. It's not an exaggeration or a stereotype. That really is a true depiction of how school bus drivers really are in this country. So it's not like anybody.
And my mom's a school bus driver.
Really?
No.
Oh, and how much?
But you should feel bad because I bet somebody's mom is a school bus driver that you're friends with.
I'm just saying. Well, no, it's not their fault. They're driven mental by driving truckloads of obnoxious little bastards around. I mean, well, how much damage could you do with a school bus?
None, really. Well, if you're driving off an ocean or a cliff and injure children.
Well, I suppose, but I mean,
they are the future.
I guess. All right. Well, whatever.
So suicidal intentions.
So there you go. So look out for that, I guess. If your bus driver seems to be, it's not their fault. Bus drivers, school bus drivers are all crazy and they're all mental and they're all evil, but they've just been driven to that. I mean, can you imagine how mental you would be after, I don't know, 10, 12 years of just driving a bunch of gum chewing kids with peanut butter smeared all over their faces around every day? Tim was talking about, what was that restaurant? What was that place we were talking about today where you were talking about hitting us? Oh, we was at the zoo.
Yeah.
Where you go to the restaurant at the zoo, and it's just endless, just hideous, grubby children just smearing their food everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrible. All right.
There's more of a mess in the animal cages.
And less of a mess, I would say. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, he's just here.
There's an Irish woman in my backyard. Her name's Patty O'Furniture.
I'm sorry. We do have Ed McCarthy actually left. All right, go. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Hey.
Yeah, no. 503-733-297. You snooze, you lose, friend. Here's Tim Riley.
Police in Kansas City say a woman tried to kidnap a 5-year-old, and the child's mother actually had to snatch the boy out of her clutches. Little Janya Sanchez is playing with friends in her front yard at the family's home when his father, William Sanchez, gets an eye on the kids from inside the apartment. Well, Sanchez said he just turned away for a second when a young girl pounded on the apartment window shouting at someone. Someone just grabbed the boy and ran off with him. The father bolted outside, and sure enough, he found 37-year-old Edwina Bates allegedly running down the street with the boy in one arm. And the boy is using her other hand to stifle his screams. Well, with the adrenaline flowing, the father soon caught up with her.
She said, what do you want? He said, I want my baby, man. What do you think? That's my baby. What are you trying to do with my baby?
They got the baby back. Okay. Edwina is an unfortunate name, by the way. Edwina is a name, is he a man
It's going to make high school very hard for her.
Yeah. Is he a man of Latin descent? That's what that sounds like to me.
Well,
I'm not trying to. What do you give me that look for?
He had an accent.
I'm just saying it does not sound as though he is a person born in America. So he may be picking a name whose ramifications later on he does not quite understand. That's what I'm saying. I'm not picking on him for being whatever, for being from somewhere else. That's Tim's job. I'm saying that because it does not sound as though English is his first language. So. That's like when when you just give your child some name, it's just going to result in it. It's like if you have a kid and you name him Ashley, it's just going to be a lot of beatings later on, and a lot of parents don't understand that. You name your daughter Edwina, she's either going to be very popular or very lonely in high school. It's possibly both. So that's really it, man.
What happens if her nickname's like Weenie?
What do you mean if? What do you mean you act as though there's some sort of chance? Like it's a flip of the coin. Where that's. Let me just say this, and this is a true story. I was at a Plaid Pantry this morning.
Always at Plaid Pantry.
Because we're hicks. It was a Plaid Pantry this morning, and there was a guy in front of me, and he was buying, as a man who clearly did not speak English, with any degree of... He didn't speak English. And so he's in front. I was trying to be polite. He didn't speak English at all. And so it really is like, it was like a Norman Lear moment, because there's me and I'm just some dumb mongrel white guy. And then in front of me, you see a Mexican man, clearly speaks very little or no English. And then he's being helped by a register clerk who is Chinese, who speaks almost no English. He's buying, clearly to consume right there in the purpose, he's buying what he thinks is milk and cookies. It's like a bag of, like, whatever, the Famous Amos. Except he doesn't have a thing of milk. He has a thing of half and half. And the woman who is Chinese, who speaks no English, and as she, and I swear to God, she was later trying to make this clear to me. Why? Because she was apologizing to me, like, because I was behind and trying to buy something. It takes forever. Because she really only speaks Chinese, not much English. He only speaks Spanish, almost no English. I don't speak either Spanish or Chinese. And she's trying to instruct him that he shouldn't be drinking a carton of half and half with his cookies. And so she's trying to have this whole thing with him, which, as I understood, as she explained to me later, is complicated by the fact that being from China, She doesn't really know. She doesn't know anything about milk, I guess, because I guess milk is not a thing that is consumed in the Chinese culture. Not until we get there and decide to fatten everybody up. So I guess milk is not really consumed traditionally in the Chinese culture.
There's not enough room for cows here. They have a billion people. There's no grazing space left.
They're still, they have to live in your apartment. The cow has to live in your bunk bed. So she is trying to explain. This Chinese woman who speaks almost no English is trying to explain to a Mexican man who speaks no English at all that the product he's got to drink with his cookies is not actually milk. You have never known hilarity in your life, and none of us can talk to any of the other. I can't talk to her. She can't talk to him. He can't talk to me. He's getting ready to drink basically a carton of cream with his cookies. And I swear to Christ, it took about 12 minutes for her to try to get him to buy something else. And he ended up leaving with, like, some strawberry-flavored, hideous milk-like concoction. She never could get him to buy the actual milk because he didn't understand what she was talking about.
Maybe she held up a picture of a cow. That might have helped.
Where would she have gotten a picture of a cow?
Like she had it behind the counter. And this is going to be a recurring experience.
A recurring issue. All right, anyway.
And then if I was the merchant, I would certainly have a picture of a cow on hand.
Or at least, know how to draw a reasonable cow.
Yeah, I couldn't draw a cow. I guess you just draw the udders or whatever. And then,
yeah, draw the udders. That wouldn't be creepy. You want half and half?
Like that would cause some big arguments. Maybe a half another.
I'm trying to picture her. It's like holding up a picture of some cow nipples. Hello, you want this? You know, it's, what would you, I guess, what would he even think that meant?
How would you even draw an udder?
And she's Chinese, so who knows? I mean, does she know that milk is from cows in America?
I would.
They don't drink milk in China. That's my point. And in other cultures, they drink, goat milk, for example.
How about a cow with an X through it, then? Explaining not to buy this.
What does that even mean?
Like, no cow, no milk.
No cow.
I don't get it.
What does no cow mean?
It would mean no milk.
We have no cow today. Please to leave. And then after he left, she was sort of trying to apologize for me that she had taken so much time in this, like, inane, like, weird United Colors of Benetton pantomime. And she goes, I'm from China. I don't know milk. That was like her whole explanation. And there was no picture of a cow for her to hold up. Would you like udder today?
Don't a lot of milks have cows on them?
No. Well, maybe.
Cows?
Maybe. But how would that have helped?
I don't know.
Like,
maybe she could have used the cream and then put it, like, got some coffee.
Whatever.
I don't know.
I quit caring about this like an hour ago.
Then why did you talk about it so long? You're just embarrassed because you said she should draw an udder.
Because you
draw an udder right now.
I'm not a... Fine. Hold on.
Show me a picture you think would convey milk with an udder.
In the meantime, here's Tim Riley, the mystery of truth. And ethnic slander.
Meanwhile, CBS has unveiled an agreement with YouTube to form a special web channel featuring clips and highlights of the annual March Madness College Basketball Tournament.
YouTube?
YouTube.
Okay.
The channel, which is sponsored by Pontiac, comes 2 days after Viacom, CBS's former sister company, filed a suit against YouTube for copyright infringement. The deal also demonstrates the tournament's growing prominence in the new media laboratory. CBS's coverage of the event online last year was hailed as a watershed for Internet video, with the network serving more than 50 million Internet streams.
My pen's dead. Do you have a pen? I'm trying to draw an udder over here.
No.
Sorry.
I have a highlighter.
Oh, my pen's leaking. Oh, I'm leaking black ink all over myself. All right. Do you have a... Okay.
There, that's a pen.
All right, thank you. All right, it's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. What are you doing over there?
Oh, I'm trying to decide what to do next. Brad Delp suicide note. Should we read this?
This is Brad Delp from Boston.
Boston, yes.
Yeah, I quit caring about him when he kissed himself off, letting his girlfriend find his dead body. That's when I quit caring about being sensitive.
Well, a day after his family revealed he had, in fact, committed suicide, police authorities discovered several suicide notes. So I don't know if the others were rough drafts or not.
He tried one as a limerick.
They were meticulously placed around his home. Yesterday, officers said a note was found clipped onto Delp's shirt. It read, M. Brad Delp, jamais une solitude, which means in English, I am a lonely soul.
Don't write your suicide note in French.
Did he die in America?
Yeah. In some place that Tim has never heard of.
In Atkinson, New Hampshire.
Where is that?
somewhere in New Hampshire. I don't know. New Hampshire is this tiny state, and I've never heard of the town. So he could have been solitaire in some small town.
I am the only person here.
All it has to do is snow once, and you're stranded for weeks. Another goodbye message was found at the top of the staircase leading to the bedroom, where Doug committed suicide by locking himself into the room with two charcoal grills. He died as a result of carbon monoxide poisoning. In the note, cautioned officers of the carbon monoxide inside and also accept a full responsibility for his actions. The note says, I take complete and sole responsibility for my present situation. I have lost my desire to live. Unquote. And there was more. He let officers know that they could reach his fiancée, Pamela Sullivan, who called police after his death. Upon investigation, officers had uncovered specific letters written by Delp to his family, including one to Sullivan, his two kids, oh, he has kids, their mother, and an anonymous couple. Delp was the front man for the 70s and 80s rock band called Boston, although it's not clear why he decided to take his life. His fiancée admits he'd been feeling depressed and bad about himself for quite some time.
Who doesn't? Just, please. And so, what, he had, an ex-wife and a fiancée and two kids?
Yeah, two kids.
What a prize he turned out to be. Is that really how you want to go out? Your suicide note in French?
Seriously.
Is that how you want to be remembered? Some Nancy writing a suicide note in French? All right, here's, I've drawn my udder. Here's,
let's see.
Here's an udder. There you go. Now, I don't know how she's supposed to use this.
That looks like an upside-down finger turkey.
or a cheap chandelier in a dining room.
What is that?
It's an udder.
This is not an udder.
This is a little bag part.
Like a half circle with like four hot dogs hanging from it.
How would you draw that? This is completely stupid. Radio is an auditory medium.
And you know what's going to happen? In an emergency, she's going to pick it up upside down anyway. Then it looks like a birthday cake with candles.
Seriously. Then, and then,
cake? Yes, I'll have some cake.
Okay. We're on the. Do you realize we're now on a federally licensed radio station using this airtime to draw pictures of cow udders? This is like that time Don and Mike played blackjack on the air for like an hour. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Actor comedian Sinbad.
She's Chinese. How would she even know how to draw a cow udder?
They don't know. I imagine they have schools and cow teachings are part of the curriculum at some point.
Yeah, you know how to draw a kangaroo.
Cow teachings. Okay, that's a fair point. Touche, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim Ryan.
No, I'm just saying there must have been one semester where the class learned about cows.
One semester where? at China U?
At the People's Republic of China. Well, how much is there to learn about cows? You want the teachings of cows or the teachings of Mao?
Cow Satan.
The Mao cow.
Okay, we stop.
Meanwhile, actor comedian Sinbad has had the last laugh after his Wikipedia entry announced he was dead. Rumors began circulating Saturday regarding the posting. Sinbad, who got a telephone call from his daughter, she wanted to know if he was still alive or not. He said yes. Gossip quieted, and a few days later, the 50-year-old entertainer said the phone calls, text messages, and emails started pouring in by the hundreds.
By the tens.
Saturday, I rose from the dead and then died again, he tells the AP in a phone interview. A note on Sinbad's Wikipedia site last night said the site had temporarily been protected from editing to deal with this vandalism.
Who bothers to fake the death of...
Publicity stunt.
Of Sinbad. Well, I suppose.
I mean, have you heard of him in years?
No.
No?
I guess one of us should be faking our own death. Who's it going to be?
Scotty.
Like, yeah, that would... Yeah, the phones are going to ring off the hook.
I'm not it.
CNN will be on the phone. Is it true, Scotty? Jay's dead? All right. Tim?
Sure, why not? Make me dead.
Okay. Note to self. All right. Let's see. This is Sergio. Hello, sir.
Hello?
Hi there.
Ice crema.
Ice crema?
Crema para café.
Ah, sí.
Ice cream for coffee.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Is someone messing with you?
Oh, good God. Is this
we're working at the tienda.
Is it?
What are you doing?
Crema.
Sí.
Hermano.
Para café.
Carne.
All right.
Hey, leche.
Scotty's typing on the screen. Give phone back to American friend, please.
Chiclets.
Groom.
I'm freaking out. You guys are blowing my mind.
¿Cómo estás?
Is somebody tuned in right now? This really is indistinguishable.
How are you?
All right, and we're done. Seriously, all we need is some busty women and like a guy spinning a prize wheel. All right. It's 503-7...
That was fun.
503-733-2970. Ugh, good God Almighty. All right, let's see. What we got? We got some. Let's head back to the Ministry of Truth, which really is just a ministry of all kinds of randomness today. Here's Tim.
Meanwhile, the president is defending his troop surge in Iraq in a speech before a political gathering. Speaking at the Republican Congressional Committee dinner, Bush again called Iraq the central point on the war on terrorism. He called on Congress to approve a $125 billion funding bill with no strings attached.
The most pivotal question is whether the United States Congress will stand behind our new commander, General David Petraeus, and give our commanders the flexibility they need to do their jobs and our troops the support they need to carry out their mission.
Who is he speaking to?
The clock.
Who is this speech?
This is a Republican dinner.
Okay.
He said his surge plan will help the troops succeed.
We're pursuing a new strategy in Iraq. A plan that demands more from Iraq's government. A plan that brings security to Baghdad as our top priority. And a plan that gives our troops the reinforcements they need to carry out their mission.
He blasted the White House measure calling for troop withdrawals.
Some in the Congress are using this bill as an opportunity to micromanage our military commanders or to force a precipitous withdrawal in Iraq.
Precipitous. Oh, come on. He doesn't know what that means. There's no way. Somebody has given him Scotty's 100 words to make you some smart book.
Everyone get up to get an extra helping of Jell-O at that point.
The terrorists will strike the U.S. again if we fail in Iraq. If we were to leave Iraq before the job is done, the enemy would follow us to the United States of America, and we're not going to let it happen.
They're going to fly in here in droves.
They're not fire ants. They don't have cars, much less they have no way to get here. They don't have toasted. They're friggin' broke. They're not following anybody anywhere.
But people still believe that.
Seriously, how is it that he assumes that the... never mind. Let's see. Any Twin Peaks fans out there, Sarah Dillon, this is from Jennifer, will recognize the orchid-raising character Harold Smith.
The guy who was agoraphobic.
Whatever. Pinned the exact same suicide note to himself. Nice job, Brad Delp. Is that true?
Really?
I'm not sure.
You sounded just like the DK Wilds girl. Brad Delp pinned to his sleeve. Did you hear? Did you hear that Brad Delp committed suicide with a... Actually, it was more of a... I'm sorry. Have I gone too far? Is it too soon? Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, chest presses and not breaths help with CPR. Yes, chest compression, not mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, seems to be the key in helping someone recover from cardiac arrest.
Can't go mouth-to-mouth.
This is from a Japanese study, and those people don't like to touch each other. Showed that people were more likely to recover without brain damage if rescuers focused on chest compression rather than rescue breaths. And some experts advise dropping mouth-to-mouth part of CPR altogether. The study is published in today's Journal of Medicine called The Lancet.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm looking through all of this.
Still drawing udders.
I'm sorry. I'm really not.
An utter doodler.
I'm really not. So all I'm going to do now is draw gigantic.
Can you draw this udder?
Well,
are you applying to art school?
It's an utter wearing a slanty cap, like a jauntily slanted hat on top. No, I was going to read this for Tim, but I can't find it. You were talking about this the mouth-to-mouth thing, because you can't go mouth-to-mouth. That's a 1% joke. Did you see that heartwarming story about the guy that saved his dog by giving it CPR?
I didn't, but I would have liked to.
It was some dog that, like, you'd never want to give CPR to. Not that, like, you're lining up to do that most of the time, but it was like a bulldog or something. It was like some dog that clearly would just be disgusting. Because, you know, some dogs, I don't want to go on about it, some dogs they slobber a whole lot. It was some dog that just seemed like it would be just slobbertastic. The dog lives. It's a happy story. Guy's dog, like, fell into a lake or a river or whatever, is all drowning. Guy pulls the dog out, gives it CPR, mouth-to-mouth, saves the dog's life. I was trying to raise... Listen to this, Rick. About the plaid pantry and the milkman's sudden misunderstanding. Couldn't the clerk just have pointed to her own chest? No, because... No, she couldn't, because what would that have explained? Yeah, no, you... The clerk could not solve it by pointing to her own bosoms, sir. That doesn't really help anything. That, but that's what he said, except he doesn't say bosoms. It's like, can't the clerk, couldn't the clerk... Like, all right, what are we doing here? This is, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
His grill.
No ethnicity left out. Carol, the token Italian. Hello.
Hello there. Your phone call. She was trying to say the cream. She was saying le leche. So that's milk.
Here's the thing. I don't.
Since you hate children, you don't know anything about the Le Leche League, which is for breastfeeding, which means milk. The guy wanting to say point to your chest. You know, all tied into one thing.
Okay.
No. Carol, why are you so angry?
Carol, don't be upset.
Because you guys hate children, and I really like your show, but I hate how you diss on kids.
I was talking about a wacky adventure with a Chinese woman and a Mexican man and
but
me.
But I was explaining that your wacky phone call, and you guys didn't understand what she's saying.
Carol?
He said the cream, le leche, which is milk.
Carol, is it nature's special time?
No, it isn't. But I call all the time, and you don't want to talk to me, so I got to go to work. But anyway,
there's
you
no
go.
Need, there's no what? Need to be hateful,
yeah,
Carol.
So, yeah.
I'm not going to play your sounder. I'm not playing your sounder.
Really, what is wrong with her?
Something is
gone. Another. Yeah,
is it?
Oh, she might be going through the change.
Is it time for the great off turning?
That's too bad because I really like her sounder.
That's all right, Carol. I don't want to have to delete your sounder, but I will.
We don't have to delete it. We just need to get a new token Italian.
That's right. That's right. And don't think that they are around. They aren't around, Carol.
I'm actually very bothered by Carol.
They're everywhere. Carol does that. If you remember some of her very early calls to this program, she was really hideous.
But she's been so nice lately.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe
she's a heartbreaker.
Maybe she's calling us mid-hot flash.
Yeah, maybe it'll be nature special time no more.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, hundreds of letter carriers stage a protest outside the Beaverton Post Office. Many of you don't know this, but to save money, the U.S. Postal Service is now outsourcing mail delivery. Angering mail carriers are wondering, well, are they next?
To who? To whom are they outsourcing it?
Just the general public. I don't have a real mailman either. Or a mail woman.
Isn't that
just
true?
Somebody driving around the station waving his mail on it. Not even wearing a uniform.
It's like spray painted.
Uh-huh.
And someone just with like crude like children's refrigerator letters, they just put mail. I don't understand. But doesn't that make you a mail carrier?
No, they don't have the mail carrier's uniform or.
Is that true? How is that even possible? I thought that the mail carriers union was really strong.
Apparently not. So they're mad now.
So in Beaverton, your mail is just delivered by some guy?
Yeah.
Are you sure that the post office knows these?
Contracted workers are already delivering in the subdivision in the Bethany area, which is an upscale area. So they don't want these people around their expensive home.
Are you sure that the guy, that the Postal Service knows this guy is delivering your mail?
Oh, yeah, they do. But they're outsourcing the delivery of mail to anyone.
So they're privatizing it?
Yes.
That's interesting. I had no idea. You don't have to, in fact, it would probably be best if you did not call about this, or if you do, don't probably use your name, but I'd be curious to know about that from many of our postal deliverers. I can't remember the last time I actually saw the person who delivers my mail, so who knows? I think it might be happening in Southeast. All right, well, there you go.
Well, we had this discussion at our Neighborhood Watch meeting a few months ago.
When you were very upset that they wouldn't clean the gazebo?
No, that was at the property management meeting. That's a separate one.
Has the gazebo been cleaned since
then? It has not.
Are you going to stand in front of the, stand up there like Jimmy Stewart and give a long speech?
Well, the dead trees have been replaced by living trees, I will say that much.
All right.
What was the original question?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It's fine. We're so late that we gotta stay here because this is Jim.
We have to stay here. We'd rather go back to the old studio.
We'd rather just go home. We'd rather just go out and get drunk. But we've got to wait at least another 2 hours for that. I think maybe I'll get drunk today. That'll be fantastic.
Ooh, let's go drink some whiskey.
503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. Let's do one more, and then we'll welcome Jim Roop to the radio program today.
One more of what?
Oh, me?
I thought we were taking another call.
No, let's do one more picture of a cow udder.
Okay.
Let's draw one more picture of cow boobs. And then we'll,
Let's all draw udders, and then we can put them on the website, and people can vote for their favorite one.
And we do it, yes. And then we can, all right. Yeah, right underneath the Department of Mental Retardation logo.
All right.
Well, that does sound like fun. Well, a nonprofit organization has launched a line of e-cards for women who have had abortions. The six e-cards were designed to be nonpartisan and encompass a wide range of responses that a woman may go through after having the procedure. One expresses sympathy, saying, as you grieve, remember that you are loved. Still another reassures the recipient that God will never leave you or forsake you. The cards are offered in English and Spanish.
Unless you're Catholic. Sorry about your impending damnation.
The name of this group is Exhale. They plan to also publish a magazine for women who've had abortions.
Who would possibly subscribe to such a magazine? How much is there to know, really?
I don't know. This group is from San Francisco.
So this is a magazine that's selling cards?
No, it's a line of greeting cards that's soon going to become a magazine.
Let's go back to the other story.
I don't... How long would you need to subscribe? Look, I'm not going to... The Rick Emerson Show is not going to weigh in on one side or the other of the abortion issue right now, because that seems like it's going to work out badly for everybody. I'm just going to make the following observation. If you find yourself subscribing to a magazine about abortion, maybe you ought to lay in a supply of rubbers. What do you think? What do you think about just sheathing that thing every now and again, pal? Okay? I'm just do us all a favor, okay? And just wrap it, okay? Thanks. Thanks so much. All right. I can't wait for my new issue of the abortion magazine to get here. Oh, I can't. It's the happiest day of the month when that comes in the mailbox. All right, it's 503-733-2970. What? You're making the gesture like you're playing a piano. Oh, for this. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk to a postal service guy here in just a second. But before we do anything else, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim O'Roop. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Hi. What's up in your life, brother?
Not much.
Well, Larry King just had surgery in L.A.
Again?
Yeah.
On what?
For what?
Well, I'm waiting for the KFWB website to come up, which takes a long time.
Okay. Removing one of his many extraneous flaps of skin.
Removing one of his wives. He has had vascular surgery in L.A. He went in this morning and is expected to return Monday to a CNN talk show. He's at Cedars-Sinai. They performed a keratode. Oh, my God, I can't even pronounce this. Well, it's three long words that removes plaque.
Cardioid endarterectomy.
Exactly.
How do you know? Have you had it done, if I may ask?
I've had it done twice.
Now, what is that?
I have no idea what the hell it is.
It sounds like... Oh, I'm sorry. It removes the plaque.
I want it
from the heart.
The keratoid artery.
Not
the... It restores blood flow, so his blood hasn't been flowing.
So it removes...
He's just been held together with suspenders, apparently.
Yeah. And duct tape.
Did you say remove the plague?
Well, that's what it looked like from a distance.
I don't know. I've developed all these liquefied organs. What do you think it is? Oh, good God.
It says Larry has been doing great, according to CNN.
I've developed all this sloughed off skin, doctor. What would you recommend?
He's 73.
Seriously. Move out of the 15th century, for one. Oh, good God almighty. All right. Sorry. His blood just has been sitting there.
They should let me sit in while he's in the hospital.
I would watch that show. I'd watch that again if you were going
to do that.
I love the idea that his blood has just been idling. I mean, really, how much blood circulation could Larry King have? How much blood could Larry King have left at this point?
Well, I think he has to stand on his head a couple hours a day to get it going.
I get the feeling if you open him, he's like Trigger. He's just filled with sawdust. You know what I mean? All right. It's 503-733-2970. We're here with Jim Roop. All right. Well, for the love of God. Yeah. All right. I'm reading this now. This is from, do you have a St. Patrick's Day plans, by the way?
Sort of.
What are those? You sound strangely reticent.
Well, it happens to be this night of a fundraiser for one of my kids' schools, so I got to go to that dance.
as long as it's something you're really looking forward to. Is there going to be something green you can drink, sir?
Yes. I'm sure there will be.
I was just going to wait as long as possible to see if you would weigh in any further. All right. Well, there's this thing in L.A.
Can we just talk about this? We had some clip from George Bush or somebody the other day about illegal immigration. And I'm reading this now. It says a new, quote, sanctuary movement that will help illegal immigrants stave off deportation will soon be launched by churches. This is the sort of precise reporting that CNN gives us. Quote, in a bunch of U.S. cities. That's the actual journalistic term that CNN is using. In a bunch of U.S. cities.
So, really?
Yeah, that's what it says. So A is one of those cities, Portland. B, what is this?
We don't know what cities they are yet. They haven't announced it yet. All we know for sure is that it's being started here in L.A., or not started, but launched again here in L.A., which means there's definitely Los Angeles involved. And this interfaith group that's been out there for a while now is sort of making a little more noise than they have been in the past.
My thing is this, you always hear about this, sort of an urban legend about people seeking sanctuary in a church from whatever. They don't want to be drafted, they don't want to go to jail, whatever. But you can't really do that, can you?
Well, they're going to fight this thing. I mean, it's just like in the 80s when churches were harboring Central Americans who were trying to get out of their country because of all the wars and stuff that was going on. I think they expect this to be the same thing. But it's a little different. And the main thing is they're trying to keep families together. Not everybody. First of all, from what we understand, and again, we haven't gotten the plan completely detailed to us yet, it's a limited number of immigrants. I guess, depending upon maybe your parish size, you're allowed to have 10 or 13. But what they want to do is stop families from being broken apart. So if mom and dad get deported, the kids are left here. Who takes care of them?
Now, is that the thing that happens? You always hear about the illegal immigrants. You know, the people say, well, that they have kids, so that then they can't get kicked out of the country. But it seems like they do probably get kicked out of the country, even if they've had kids here.
The parents do, yeah.
And so then the state just ends up having to foot the bill for their kids, right?
More likely than not, though, there's some sort of relative somewhere of those kids in this country. They very rarely are they handed over to Child Protective Services, and then we have to foot the bill for that, too.
Well, because there's not even enough money in the world for that.
No,
probably.
There's not. No, there's not. And someone's got to get the idea that it's not that we don't mind. We don't mind people coming over here. We don't. But if we got to pay for them, we do.
Right.
You know, I think that's the issue more than anything else. And I understand how churches say, you know, because of peace and social justice, that if, you know, anybody has the right to make a life better for themselves, escape whatever tyranny they're experiencing in their country to make a better life for themselves and their family. But there are ways to do that. That's not going to put a big burden on the country to which you are migrating. So at some point, someone's going to figure this all out. I can't do it for everybody.
Well, there you go. That's exactly the honest and on the level reporting that we value from you, Jim.
In a bunch of cities.
In a bunch. I just love that. In a whole mess of places, this is going to be happening.
A boatload of them.
Seriously, who does fill in for Larry King when he's gone? I don't even know.
You know, I don't know either. But I guess they just show reruns, maybe.
And who can?
I don't watch.
Well, seriously, that show really is. I mean, God love Larry King. He is a giant in the industry. But, I mean, that show really is unchanging from day to day, from year to year.
Yep.
I'm not even really sure that I could tell. A real quick question. I may have asked you this yesterday. Jim Roop, when you go to shave, what is it that you do you shave with, an electric or a blade?
Blade.
And what kind of blade do you use?
Well, I have that. I tried that Fusion.
Oh, did we talk about it? See, I couldn't remember if it was you or if it was somebody else that I was talking to.
Okay, yeah, I forgot the one I use normally. It's a Gillette of some kind.
All right, so, yeah, yes.
Mach 3 or something?
Scotty has brought me today the Gillette Fusion Power, which is the one that's got the battery inside of it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to take anything in the shower that has a battery.
Apparently, it leaks. A guy called us yesterday and said that if you leave in the shower for too long, it apparently leaks some kind of weird, scary, blue, acid-like material all over. So that's probably something you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
All right.
That's where the Fusion comes in.
it's tabletop Fusion. All right. Enjoy your weekend, sir, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
To you, sir.
Thank you. There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right.
We're so late.
I know, but we got to do this first. This is Mailman O'Brien. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you all doing?
Hey, what's up?
Okay, so here's the situation with this contracting app that Tim was reading the story.
Tim was talking about how some of the postal workers are being replaced by just people.
Correct. Well, here's the situation. On a lot of new developments around the country, the post office in our contract as being a letter carrier in parts unknown, I will not name where I work, there is a piece in the contract that allows for contracting out of certain things, including delivery, which is kind of a weird thing to do. But basically what they'll do is like a new development like Bethany Heights, right? I believe that was what Tim mentioned.
Right.
Out in Beaverton area there. A new development will come in, and instead of adding on to a person's route or getting a new regular letter carrier union member, they will put up for bid to the general public anyone who wants to apply, and you're sort of a pseudo postal employee. You're drug screened, you're security screened, you get an ID badge, and basically it's for the lowest bidder. Kind of a Walmartization of the Postal Service.
In what way?
You don't get a pair of mailman shorts, though, in the hat.
I was just going to say, so in what way...
Or a truck.
In what way are you not a postal worker?
You are not unionized. You don't have the potential to be covered by the union. You do not get a pension, retirement sort of thing that the regular letter carrier gets.
This all sounds so familiar.
Well, it's basically, you know, it's the drive to the bottom for every business in the country, including any government job or quasi-government job.
I had no idea that was happening, and here's why that distresses me. I'll tell you why it distresses
it's
me.
It's happening in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's what distresses me. Strangers handling my bill.
I need paid workers.
I like seriously, and the idea that it went to the lowest bid. It went to the guy who offered to do it for like 14 cents a day.
Assuming he passes a drug screen.
I was just going to say thank you so much, and we appreciate that. Is that happening in Portland? Do you think?
Well, it's happening in Bethany Heights. It is happening around the country in certain places. Now, here's two other things that are kind of unsettling about this whole thing. So, if you move into a new housing development, and you know there's like going to be say 200 homes in this housing development, you're one of the early movers in, as it were, and there's like 30 of you living in there. Because of this new system, the Postal Service will not be required to affect delivery to your address until at least 50 or 60% of your neighbors have moved in, which means that if you're getting mail at, you know, so-and-so, you've got to go down to the post office every day to get your mail until you've got more than 50% of the neighborhood moved in. And part two and worse is that any of these contracted carriers that deliver mail, they are not allowed to deliver certified or registered mail, express mail,
or
parcels.
You're going to go down to the post office and pick up your crap yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, sons of bitches.
So I want everybody, I guess I can't advocate. You go ahead and advocate for me, Rick.
Everybody should riot, and I want you to go... And I want you to set fire to, I don't know, what am I telling people to, what am I telling people to do?
I can't tell you what to do.
You should punch the replacement worker in the face.
There you go.
Knee him in the groin.
It should be trusted professions, and one of them is, you know, police, fire department.
Oh, that's true. All right, thank you, sir.
And radio house, too.
Well, thank you. That's only a matter of time. Thank you.
All right, have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
There are fake mailmen in the Tennesbourne and Orenco area.
I love the idea. Listen, this is why it's a crisis, because it's in Tim's neighborhood. It is in Tim's neighborhood, and that cannot stand. And then we'll break right after I make this one comment, which is that the reason this disturbs me is A, well, first of all, I don't like the idea of some jag-off handling my mail.
That's exactly what's happening.
Just some idiot, some nitwit, some schmuck, some schnook.
Not even wearing anything identifying them as handling mail.
And doesn't it seem like it'd be really, not that I'm suggesting this, but doesn't it seem
a doctor without a stethoscope?
Doesn't it seem like, or without one of those shiny things? What are those shiny things that doctors used to wear on their heads?
I don't know. They're things for advertisements and Life magazines.
After they're selling you cigarettes. Pall Malls, recommended by doctor. 9 out of 10 doctors agree. Somebody call me later and tell me what those shiny things that doctors wear on their heads are. No, the thing about it is, A, doesn't it seem...
I don't know. My dad has one.
What are they for?
I don't know.
They just hand them out.
Do they reflect the light, maybe, to make it like a little...
No, it commands respect.
If there were a little circle on my head, it respects me.
If they're reflecting the light, that means you've got a light in the room. Why can't you just hold the light in your hand and shine it right at the thing? I thought that too, but that clearly
can't
be.
How's the doctor supposed to write?
With a pen. What are you talking about?
He's holding a notebook and a pen in the other hand.
How is he supposed to draw a picture of an udder? Anyway, I was just going to say this. It seems like if they're having these replacement postal workers, which might be happening in your neighborhood next, A, it makes it really easy for some guy just to go beat the hit that guy in the head with a brick and take
your
mail.
Open up the mailboxes, start pulling things out that don't belong to them. Who knows if he's a real mailman?
I'm a replacement mail worker. Get off my back.
That was the discussion of our. Well, and secondly,
Crime Watch.
Working in radio, people who work in radio, you always like to have in your head like a fallback career. And it, when I growing up, it was always like, well, there's always a job at the post office. That was always it. Like, if worst comes to worst, you can get a job at the post office. Apparently now even that safety net has been taken away from me. Thanks for that. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back after this. We're real late here, so we'll come back. We'll talk. We have more people calling about mailmen for whatever reason. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, more from Tim. Well, coming up next, more from Tim Riley. Who are we fooling? More from Tim Riley. We got Scott Dowdy coming up later on. Top 5. Like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.